This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
I knew about the 50-point thing, which is a cool honor, just longevity. With every gray hair that pops up on top of your head, you get to appreciate moments and milestones like this. So very, very special. Just scoring the basketball, and, you know, I love to do it. I love to have nights like these, and I just want to, you know, soak it all in.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That was Steph last night post-game with Bonte and the guys on NBC Sports Bay Area on the walk-off on television, on the TV side. Steph saying a lot of good things there, and we got to play something else that Steph said that I think is important for this conversation. But welcome back. It's Dibs and Grandy with you on Willard and Dibs. I'm in for Willard today. He'll be back on Monday here on 95.7 The Game. I'll tell you what, Dibs, maybe there's not a ton of us necessarily who feel like the Warriors are cooking up something special, although I do, and I know you're coming around on that side as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of confidence in that locker room now. Like, they feel pretty darn confident, and you give Steph just a chance, and it's what Steve Kerr and everyone have been talking about for so long. Just give us an at-bat. We want to give Steph an at-bat in the postseason and see what happens. All Steph needs is a chance, just a sniff, right? And he gets that sniff. Oh, yeah. He's going to take it, and they're feeling pretty darn confident right now.
Very confident, and it's kind of like his shot, where you don't need to give him any room at all. He can get a shot off, and the famous picture from the Olympics with Wemby closing out on him with all his limbs extended, and Steph has the ability to get the shot off, and all he needs is just a little bit of a breath of room to get it going. The only thing missing in his career is something that's held by his old teammate, Klay Thompson, 14 threes in a game. That is the record. And Steph he's got games where he's had 13. And
he had the record for a little bit. And then Klay broke it with 14.
He did. Yeah. And I was just looking at the list of players who have had 10 or more threes in a game. And there have been 104 instances in the NBA of a player shooting and making more than 10 threes, 10 or more threes. How many of those instances do you think Steph has?
So how many total?
There have been 104 total games where a player's had 10 or more threes. How many of those are the Chef?
I know he has the most, and it's like an absurdly high percentage. Like something like 30 of them?
That's close, but we're going to go ahead and give you the buzzer just because we like to...
Nope.
That's fine. 26. 26.
26.
He's got 25% of all games where somebody's made 10 or more threes.
That's insane.
It's insane. And, you know, you run down the list, and it's all the names you would figure. I think Klay has the second most.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got a lot of Damian Lillard in there. You've got a Dante DiVincenzo restaurant quality. Yeah, he's got one.
Zach LaVine probably has one.
He had 11 in a game, and Bogdanovich had one with 11. So anyway, just thinking about like everything that Steph has accomplished and everything that he wants, and I know he wants another title, but I think somewhere in the back of his mind, a night like last night, he's probably thinking, I'm gonna at least tie Klay. Let me get two more threes He was 12 of 16 from three. So you can't really, like, look back and think.
He wasn't just hoisting them.
Right. He was 12 of 16 from three. So anyway, just another curiosity about Steph's night last night.
I think that what like encapsulates Steph is he had, I think it was 9 threes through three quarters, I believe. Then he had 3 in the fourth. And he hit those three in pretty quick succession, especially those two down the stretch, the 11th and 12th, to kind of seal the game. But in the fourth quarter, you feel like maybe you're hunting for the three and you're trying to go for the record, right? You need 5 in the fourth to tie. You need 5 in the fourth to tie. You need 6 to pass, which is a lot, but you feel like maybe you hunt for it. And that wasn't really what he was doing. Like, I would feel that pressure. Oh, I got 9 through 3. All right, I'm going to go for it, Clay. I'm coming for you. But as you said earlier, the Magic were running him off the line. He said, all right, you know what? Give him a little pump fake. Step in, hit the little 18-footer, and I'll take my 2 points that way. So it's also Steph and the ultimate team player and always making the right basketball decision. And especially in a game that's close like that, like if Steph, instead of taking the easy mid-range where he felt pretty confident he could get the two, and he instead forced a three and he missed, like that could have been the difference in a win and a loss if Steph was maybe going for the record, searching for it a little too much.
Definitely. And, you know, because that game was so tight down the stretch, you know, you had to actually go out there and play regular basketball. I'm looking at his shot log for the game, and his last... his last six shots, his only six shots in the fourth quarter were all three-point attempts. So those were, and he ended up making three of the six, so he did have cracks at it. But
maybe it was late third that I'm thinking of, when he was taking some mid-ranges.
Yeah, his last seven shots were all threes, but he had back-to-back, to your point, he made those mid-ranges in the third quarter, part of the third quarter where he outscored Orlando 22-21. And they finally did start to run him off the line, and he just went into the key and took advantage.
Yeah. We had a texter, 888-957-9570. The 510 asks, what did Clay shoot that night, the night that he made 14 and set the record? He was 14 for 24 from downtown, 18 for 29 from the field. So he got up a lot more shot attempts than Steph did. Steph was 16 for 25 last night and 12 for 19. And something that Steph said post-game, again on NBC Sports Bay Area post-game with Bonte and the guys, here's Steph. What I'm talking about, Dibs, the confidence that the team has right now, that this is not just a mirage, that they can keep this up. Here's Steph on NBC Sports Bay Area.
A high level of confidence that we can continue to win games and learn each other and learn, you know, this rotation as we, you know, go down the stretch of the season. I think it's in our best interest to kind of just stay there. Every game, come in with a swagger about us that if we show up on the defensive end, we'll have enough offense to get over the hump no matter what the game is looking like. And, you know, obviously Jimmy provides a great presence, a high level of IQ, and connects the game. So if we keep doing that game after game after game, we should be in good shape down the stretch, and then we take it from there.
There's Steph saying, quote, we have a high level of confidence. They can keep it up. And again, I can't shake it, Dibs. It feels like the Warriors are born again. And I haven't felt this level of enthusiasm and the energy with which the Warriors, and specifically Steph, has played. He feels reinvigorated. The team feels revitalized. And I haven't felt this way in a long time. This is a Steph that is reminiscent of like some of the best seasons Steph has ever played, and that has not been the case for the first 50 plus games, but over the course of the last 8, it has been reminiscent of the best Steph we've ever seen.
Yeah, he's been on an unbelievable heater, and even before Jimmy came, he had back-to-back 30 plus point nights in the game against the Lakers and the game against Utah. But just since Jimmy has been here, 8 games, he's averaging 30.6, and he's shooting 43 from 3, 51 from the floor, 89.6 from the line. Not quite 50-40-90.
Come on, Steph.
But
the easiest part of that.
Pick it up, Curry. But just looking at his other big night where he made 13 threes, he only took 17 attempts. So even though he's, you know, having these big nights, it's not like he's out there trying to get the record by shooting 28 threes in a game, anything crazy. He just gets hot. And when he gets hot, this team rolls, as evidenced by last night.
Yeah, we got someone on our YouTube chat, youtube.com/957thegame, Lincoln, who says Steph has 1450 pieces, as you've already mentioned, Dibs. If Kerr let him play fourth quarters, he'd have 30 50-point games. And I think the game where he got 13, which was the record at that point, since he got the record, the Warriors didn't feel the need to allow him to keep chasing anything. I would imagine that he probably rested the majority of the fourth quarter in that basketball game.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll take a gander at that, because that was during the time when...
They were dominating everybody.
They were dominating everyone. And
I believe KD, that was the KD era.
Yeah.
KD was on that team.
It was a November game against New Orleans, and the Warriors got to 5-2 with the victory. I can't believe they actually lost a couple of games.
Yeah, what the hell?
Early on, but yeah, that was a... Man, these names on New Orleans. Buddy Hield coming off the bench in that one. And, yeah, Steph played 7 minutes in that fourth quarter.
Okay.
So the game was fairly close. They won by 10, but the caller's point, I think, is a good one about 50-point games, because that game he had 46, by the way, when he had the 13 threes. So, and, you know, they did play him a lot in the fourth quarter, but a lot of those games in that season, nobody was playing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. All right, time for a quick break here on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Grandy with you. I think we take all your calls on Steph and the where were you when moments. Another amazing one last night. Is this beginning to feel special for you as a Warrior fan? Because I can't shake the feeling. And I think also we got to talk about, because part of all of this is Jimmy Butler. And he wasn't great last night, but I think we could still feel his impact. Where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most for you specifically? If you could single out a single piece of the Warriors basketball team, whether it's a statistic or a characteristic or a player that's been helped the most, what do you think? Where has Jimmy Butler helped this team the most? 888-957-9570. We're sponsored by Safeway. If it's Dibs and Grandy with you. More coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I mean, Raymond just said it was his 26th game with 10 or more threes, yeah. So we're spoiled around here. We're used to it. It never gets old watching, I can tell you that. The fans here tonight, even the Magic fans, they know they're witnessing the greatest shooter ever and one of the greatest performers ever. It's not just the shots going in. It's just the fluidity, the beauty of his movement and motion and his audacity, the shots that he's willing to take. He's an incredible performer, and he put on quite a show tonight.
Bay Area, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know what, Dibs? I like your picks.
Hey, happy Friday,
Coach,
Dibbers.
Thank you, Coach.
Wasn't sure where Luke was going with that one.
Wasn't
hey.
Either. And, Fade the Dibber will be back next NFL season.
Can't wait.
You can all tag along and bet against me, and you'll probably make a little bit of money.
Well, which is
especially
what we did
playoffs.
This year. Yeah, you
man,
picked,
I was cold.
You picked a hell of a time to get hot.
Yeah.
Get hot!
Well, I actually made a real live bet on the Super Bowl, and I actually got that one right, so
yeah.
That felt good.
There you go.
Philly.
You helped us out the rest of the playoffs,
yep,
so we
no
can give
doubt.
You the Super Bowl.
Appreciate
we can give
it.
You the Super Bowl. But Steve mentioned the stat that you brought up, Dibs, on the other side of the break. 26th game for Steph with 10 or more threes. Let's just run through them really quick. It was his 45th game with 9 or more threes, which is by far the most in NBA history.
Okay.
26th game with 10 or more threes, as you mentioned, the most in NBA history. 14th game with 11 or more threes, also the most in NBA history. And his third game with 12 or more threes, which now is tied with Klay for the most in NBA history. Of course, he also has one game with 13, but that is where he tops out. Klay has him with 14 overall in one game, but Steph has the most. Nine or more threes in individual games, the most 10 or more threes, the most 11 or more threes, and now tied for the most 12 or more threes in a single game.
And Klay had the record back in 2018. He had 12 threes on February 6th and February 24th of the same year, 2023. So that was just an absolute heater of a month. He had
2023?
Yeah.
Wow.
Klay Thompson had 12 threes, and then 18 days later, he had 12 threes again.
Yeah.
That's being locked in right there.
He had a hell of a February 2023 a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. There's just Warriors littered throughout those history books everywhere you look when it comes to three-point records. 888-957-9570. Dibs, I want to throw this question out to you because I'm feeling like this season is becoming special, and a big reason why is because of Jimmy Butler's impact. And I felt like I feel like he has helped this team in so many ways. It's almost across the board. It's everything. Like, he is a big reason why this team is better defensively. He's a big reason why they are better offensively, because he gets them consistently better looks. I think he's a big reason why, and he's the driving force behind free throwing becoming a strength of this team. Not only the number of free throws they get, but the percentage with which they make them. And I think there's also ways in which he helps in less tangible ways as well. If I were to ask you this question, and we'll open this up to all of the listeners as well, 888-957-9570, Dibs, where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most in these last eight games for the Warriors? What do you think?
I think it is probably, for me, it would be the intangibles. The intangibles of him, his personality, his confidence, and everything else that goes with having a player like that, because he's a good two-way player. He can pass, he can score. You mentioned the free throws, but for me, it's that feeling where you've got another dog or another blank hole, as Draymond said. We need to get another a-hole in here, and Jimmy can be that. I don't know if you've seen some of his press availabilities, but he's running material. He's cracking on staff members. He's wearing fun clothing. Yep. He burns candles in the locker room. I think that it's his personality, and it's just the idea of having another all-star caliber player, somebody who has that level of gravitas that allows especially the younger guys to feel more confident.
I would have said the exact same thing, Dibs. Remember when Steve Kerr, the thing he harped on when the Warriors were in like the lowest points of this season? They were in a crisis of confidence.
Yeah. Yep.
When was the last time you thought this team lacked confidence? It's been a while.
It's not
something that you think of when you watch this team play basketball right now.
Definitely not since Jimmy's been here.
No, but it's a good point, because when they were 12, well, Steve made it and you just stole it. But when they were 12 and
good
3,
recall. Good
they
recall
did not have a crisis of confidence. But after they were 12 and 3, they had a winning percentage of about 450 over the next two or so months. And just watch how they played. Buddy Hield looked like he lost his confidence. And, you know, Pods was a little hurt, but his shot was not falling the way you want his shot to fall. Yeah. And, you know, Steph was getting double-teamed everywhere and harassed all over the floor. And none of them really looked like they were feeling like they feel now. And now they feel and they look like a team that, I mean, they probably can't wait to play their next game. And
no doubt.
I like what Steph said in that cut you played, where he's like, I like making baskets. It's like, yeah, Steph, we like it too. We like when you go out there and make baskets.
Please make more baskets, yeah. Steph.
Pretty
please.
Funny.
The 707 chiming in. Again, we're asking Jimmy Butler's biggest impact. Where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? The 707 says turnovers, both on defense and on offense. And I have the numbers to back that up for you, 707. The Warriors are committing two fewer turnovers per game with Jimmy Butler than they were before, from 14 turnovers committed per game down to 12. Also, on defense, they are forcing more turnovers than they did before. Before Jimmy Butler, they were forcing 15 turnovers per game. With Jimmy Butler in these last eight games, they're forcing 20 turnovers per game. So that's a big part of it. The 925, though, is agreeing with you, Dibs, and you, Lucas. The 925 says Jimmy helped everything without a number of stats, intangibles. And I think that's where I fall to. There's something about him taking the pressure off of Steph, which allowed for last night to happen. And this isn't even necessarily like a one-night story. Like, this was Jimmy Butler helping them dominate Dallas and helping them dominate Charlotte, which allowed Steph to not play in the fourth quarter in either of those two games, which allowed Steph, Dibs, fresh off a cross-country flight to Orlando, to have the legs, to have the energy, and to have the ability to go out and score 56 points in a game. Like, I think where the Warriors caught themselves in a trap early this year, Dibs, was Steph had to do the heavy lifting to beat a team like, I don't know, Utah at a certain point.
Yeah.
And then the next game, when you really need him, again, he can't because he's exhausted from what happened the previous game he played. Even if it wasn't a back-to-back, he wasn't even playing back-to-backs. But if two nights ago he played, or the other night he played, and he had to play 35 minutes, and they were excruciatingly difficult 35 minutes, that's going to impact his ability to help you tonight. And we're seeing
on a night in and night out basis, Dibs, less is being exerted by Steph physically, which keeps him fresher whenever the next game comes up on the schedule.
That's a good point. And, you know, he played 23 minutes and 39 seconds against Charlotte. And that's not much. And he only played 28 and a half minutes against Dallas. And your last three games before last night, you won by 24, 24, and 36. So even though he was playing, like he played almost 31 minutes against Sac, that's less than his average. Yeah. And then you played less against Dallas, and you barely played against Charlotte at all. And like you're saying, it's not high effort minutes, even when you have a game that you beat Charlotte by 36. You know, Curry had 15 points. Not that he mailed it in, but he could kind of just cruise in that game and not really have to worry too much about it because that thing was in hand from the outset. And just hearing you lay that out reminded me of something that maybe I dreamed it. Did he have bilateral knee tendonitis?
He did.
Was that a real thing that happened?
He wasn't playing back-to-backs.
Right. And the knee thing.
He has played the last couple of back-to-backs, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Knock on wood as far as, you know, knee tendonitis. But, yeah, they've had two back-to-backs in this month, and he played both ends of those games. And it looks like if, you know, maybe he got a little bit of the cortisone in the knees or whatever they did for him treatment-wise, it seems to have worked.
Yeah, no doubt. 888-957-9570. Where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? Because even though he didn't have a great game last night, he couldn't hit a jumper, wasn't getting to the free throw line as much as he used to, or at least as much as he has his first seven games as a Warrior, you could still feel his impact in that basketball game. So 888-957-9570, where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? Let's go out to the phone lines. John is standing by in Hayward. John, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Granny today. How you doing, John?
Pretty good. I like the impact. I know less turnovers, creating more to the opposition, but I really want to call in, man, throughout the history, and, you know, we've had some good scorers from MJ to Kobe Bean to KD. Man, when this guy is in his zone, it's a different animal. Just looking back, that shot that he hit against Dallas, you know, when it was on NBA Showcase Sunday over PJ Washington, just that look, it swished it right through. It is so difficult to get that shot. And I just want to say, you know, we got to appreciate this guy. And, you know, I'm just sick and tired of the knuckleheads, you know, saying, you know, the older guys not giving this guy his flowers while he's still there. And I mean, just he's been carrying. They're not talking about, you know, which teams are being watched the most on NBA League Pass, which, you know, guys is making, you know, everywhere he goes, it's sold out. You know, it's the fans were cheering MVP. And the only guy that I can remember, the last guy to do that was Kobe Bean. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, appreciate the call, John. It did feel like he turned. It's now the Kia Center, I believe, in Orlando. It used to be Amway.
Yeah.
Now the Kia Center. It kind of felt like it was a home game for the Warriors. Kind of sounded a little bit like Chase in there in that fourth quarter.
Well, there were a lot of Warrior fans.
No doubt.
So, and I'm sure Magic fans who were enjoying what was happening. And if somebody hits a 65-footer, you're going to cheer for it, even if it happens here at Chase. If it's like, wow, that was awesome. And, you know, you move on with your day. But when you see Steph Curry doing what, you know, you wanted to see, you go to an Orlando game because you're a fan. But if you're going to pick one or two games on the schedule and think about going to a Magic game, it's going to be when Steph comes to town. And so you're going to do that. You're a Magic fan, and you want the Magic to win, but you want Steph to do something amazing. And Steph did something amazing, and the Magic almost won. So even if you are a diehard Magic fan, you probably left that gym feeling pretty good about your night.
I mean, yeah, if I can pretend I'm a fan of some Eastern Conference team like the Magic, I'm not a Warrior fan, but I go to a game, and I see the Warriors, and I see Steph. It honestly, like, I would trade a historic Steph night for my team to lose just so that I could say I was there and I got to see it, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it feels like a lot of fans are doing in those moments. Like, well, you know, our team lost and we're trying to fight for a play-in spot in the Eastern Conference. Like, we got some action this year and we hope we can figure it out in the final 22, 23, whatever, however many games the Magic have left. But at least we got to see Steph score 56 points and make 12 threes. That's pretty darn special.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, you know, in the NBA, it's easier to do that than, you know, if you're a Niner fan And, you know, you see Patrick Mahomes come in and throw 7 touchdowns or whatever the record would be, and your team loses, you'd be bummed because football games are so much more important.
Yeah.
Only 17 of them. But if you're a Magic fan, you could probably stomach the loss knowing that you saw a 56-point game from Steph Curry, one of only 14 he's authored in his great career.
Yeah. Yeah. 888-957-9570. Where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? We've talked about a few areas, Dibs. I think there's a couple of others. We mentioned the turnovers, which is what one of our texters mentioned. I think you can also talk about the free throw line. How about this, Dibs? Pre-Jimmy Butler, the Warriors were attempting about 20 free throws per game. They were making 75% of those 20 attempts per game. Since Jimmy Butler's been here, so over the course of 8 games, 25 free throw attempts per game, so 5 more per game, and instead of shooting 75%, they're shooting 86%. So for whatever reason, it's not all just Jimmy. For whatever reason, the Warriors are getting more free throw attempts, which is basically just Jimmy, but they're also across the board, everybody is shooting better. I don't know how to explain that. Is it just the confidence that Jimmy Butler adds to this team? But they also have become one of the best free throw shooting teams in the league over the last 8.
Yes, and they still are dead last in the league in free throw percentage, but they're knocking on Milwaukee's door, and they're only 4 percentage points behind Toronto and 6 behind Houston. They're still in the cellar, but I'm glad you ran those numbers because they are climbing and they've gotten better. And just for some reference, last year in the association in free throw percentage, they were 16th. So just dead in the middle. I do think part of it is that one of your free throw getters who doesn't make a lot of them hasn't been playing. And that's Jonathan Kuminga, a guy who's really struggled from the line this year.
Was better right before he got hurt.
Right.
For like maybe 5 or 6 games or something like that.
Yeah, but I think not having him go 6 of every 10, because he's about 65% on the year. So you replace that with Butler, who's a good free throw shooter, then your number's going to go up.
Yeah. Let's see. Where else? The 908 on the text line says leadership and mentorship. People don't talk enough about the gap left by Andre Iguodala leaving. Jimmy is feeling that gap. I think it's interesting because if you talk about Jimmy Butler and leadership and mentorship, most people will just point to, well, what happened in Miami? And that is the exact opposite of leadership and mentorship. But it's hard to ignore Dibs, given everything that he said and what the locker room has said about Jimmy over the course of the last couple of weeks since he's been here, really more like 3 weeks now because there was the All-Star break mixed in there, the last 8 games of Warriors basketball, it does feel like there is an added leadership and mentorship there. And in fact, so much so that Steve Kerr said he hopes that Jonathan Kuminga learns from Jimmy Butler, try to model his game after that. There is definitely an added leadership quality that this team has right now with Jimmy Butler. Who knows how long that lasts, because it didn't last forever in Miami, but at least as of right now, that's a part of it too.
Well, it doesn't have to last forever. He's only here for this year and 2 more unless he gets an extension. And it seems to me that the things that have led Jimmy to go south previously have been conditions that won't exist here.
Seems
now,
like it, yeah.
It might if you get through next year and he's got 1 year left in his deal and he wants, you know, another extension at that point, things could go sour. But I think that the things that have gone bad for him, Minnesota was a team that didn't have any alphas to challenge him or to ride with him. Miami was great while it lasted, and then he wanted money and they didn't want to give him money, and so there was a clash there. I don't foresee that happening right away here, and it's easy to have things be groovy when you start out 7-1 and you're playing alongside one of the greatest players ever.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm with you. It doesn't feel like the characteristics, the way in which he got frustrated in those stops, it doesn't seem like that's, at least right now, anywhere near what the Warriors' reality would be or would become. 888-957-9570. Where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? Let's go back out to the phone lines because Eric in Millbrae is on hold. What's up, Eric? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Grandy and Dibs today. How you doing?
What's up, guys? Yeah, to me, the impact is just opening up the lanes. Before, the Warriors were just struggling. It was just such an effort to get anything going offensively, rhythm, and having all the pressure load for Curry to really continually carry the team. And his ability to attack, his ability to open up lanes, his passing ability is making it so much easier, especially for Curry, but even for the role guys. And a guy like guy giving guys more confidence, and I think a guy you're seeing with Quinton Post now starting to be a force. And I'm really fascinated to see once Kuminga fear anybody, because Denver, to me, is not as good as they were in previous years. OKC, the Warriors play them really good. They've beaten them repeatedly. So even if they have to go to OKC, the Warriors have shown they can play there. And the Lakers, are, we'll see here with Luka if they continually shine. But, guys, it's going to be wide open if the Warriors have shown anything. With a guy like Playoff Jimmy, if he plays his game, and we know Curry can do it, and the role guys, Draymond plays his role, and Kuminga can give him somewhat what he's given before his injury. Guys, in the bench plays a role. I think this Warrior team, guys, can really challenge to come out of the West. I think it's wide open. I don't think there's a favorite. So I want to get your opinion on that.
Interesting, Eric. He's a little fearful of Denver, not fearful of Oklahoma City, not fearful of Memphis, not fearful of almost anybody else in the Western Conference. How do you view that, Dibs?
Well, I think that I'm fearful of all of them, primarily Oklahoma City and Denver. Houston, not so much. I think that they're still a team that's going to have to prove it. You know, you have to go through it a couple of times before you can do it, usually.
That would be the dream first-round matchup if you could pick it.
Yeah. I'm fearful of the Lakers just because of Luka and LeBron. And, you know, neither one of them can really be contained by this team. I know you've gotten by Luka in the past, but LeBron is always a handful. Oklahoma City, you know, as I mentioned, you have to go through it before usually you can do it. And I think that they're starting to get that experience. But I'll say this, and maybe it's because of Court of Gold, but stock a little down on Gilgeous Alexander.
Oh.
And the way that he played.
Not a fan of SGA, huh?
I mean, he's a great player, but you watch him in the Olympics, and you kind of see the way Canada meekly went out. And, you know, Shea was just kind of, he was kind of a wallflower. And then you watch the recent games for Oklahoma City, and teams are starting to double up on him and make life difficult for him. And I don't know if Oklahoma City has the complete supporting cast. If Shea doesn't go off, I think Oklahoma City becomes, you know, more human. So, yeah, I'm kind of with the caller. And you get into a 7-game series, you know how difficult that is if you're a Warrior, because you've been through it. Steph's been in how many series in his life? I mean,
oh God,
he's probably played in, you know, 180 playoff games. And so,
I mean, every time they went to the finals, that's four series right there. And they've been to the finals. They've won four. They've lost two. That's six times four. That's 24 plus 25, 26, 27, 20, at least 29 series.
147 playoff games. So, and that's
right around 30 playoff series in total, something like that.
Yeah, and it, you know, as we mentioned before, when they go to the playoffs, they go deep in the playoffs. The only time they didn't was in 2014. They got 7 total games. That was when the Clippers got them in 7.
Yeah, which was the very end of the Mark Jackson era.
Yeah,
right when that series ended, Joe Lacob and the Warriors decided bye-bye Mark, and they hired Steve Kerr. And then they won the championship the next year. The following year, they won 73 games, and then they got KD, and the rest is history.
Yeah, they went finals, 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 finals in their playoff appearances. And I know that there was two years in between where they got nothing, but they've been deep. They've played a lot of series, so I do wonder more about Houston than OKC. I just think that Houston's too young. So, yeah, for me, it's avoiding Denver, the Lakers, and OKC.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that order.
I think I'm with you, and we can get more into that as we continue on the show today. Also, I think that the beginning of Eric's call, and you can join the conversation, 888-957-9570, talking about Jimmy Butler's impact, essentially saying that he's opening up the floor for everybody else. That includes Steph, but it also includes some of the others, like Moses Moody and like a Brandon Pajemski. Hell, even a Quinton Post. We can talk about that because I think that's also a Jimmy Butler impact where he's making it easier on others. And I also see both Charles and David, who are on hold, who want to talk about the ways that Jimmy Butler can help this Warrior team, or that the ways in which he has been helping this Warrior team. So, Charles and David, hang out on hold. We will get to you when we come back. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you on this Friday. We got Tim Roy coming up in about a half an hour at 4:15. Looking forward to that, talking with the voice of the Dubs, but plenty more time for your calls and your text as we continue here on 95.7 The Game.
Back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
All right, Steph. No Mark Willard today. It's Dan Dibley, Mark Grandy with you here on Willard and Dibs. Willard's off celebrating his daughter's Sweet 16.
Yeah.
He'll be back on Monday. They're turning it into like a weekend-long affair, right?
Yes, and he is doing a lot of cooking today.
Okay.
So it's a home game, apparently, and his daughter, Ella, shout out Ella. I'm sure she's listening here on her 16th birthday.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know,
she normally listens, yeah, so yeah, of course.
We're big in the teenage girl demographic, apparently. But yeah, it's going to be a home game. He's making dinner and going to have a great old time. And it's one of those weird ones, though, because these are the shows that make this job not only easier than it already is, but so much fun and so memorable. I could sit here with you all day and talk about how great Steph is, how fun that was, how special this is starting to become. These are the shows where when you're off and you have a prescribed off day, you're like, man, I wish I was in there. Wish I was working today.
Yeah, wish my daughter's Sweet 16 didn't fall the day, or I guess her birthday was actually yesterday, right?
I think so, yeah.
But when the birthday weekend didn't fall the day after Steph scores 56 points in a road win, one of the wins of the year for the Warriors. But it is what it is. We're going to go back out to the phone lines in a sec. Charles and David, stay there. I did want to get out a couple of pieces of news. This comes courtesy of Anthony Slater. You hear him all the time here on 95.7 The Game, our Warriors insider. First of all, Jimmy Butler is questionable for the Warriors tomorrow night in Philadelphia with a mid-back spasm. Mm. And Jonathan Kuminga remains out. Slater adds on Kuminga, they're waiting for final clearance, but his return could be as early as Charlotte on Monday. So no Kuminga tomorrow. The Warriors are in Philadelphia now. The other news out of the NBA, by the way, Dibs, is that Joel Embiid is officially out for the season.
I saw that, yeah.
We knew he wasn't going to play tomorrow anyway, but he's officially out for the year. That's the latest for the 76ers, who are probably going to be entering full-on tank mode, or at least not trying to win anymore. But Kuminga out tomorrow. He could return on Monday. Jimmy Butler questionable for the Warriors tomorrow night in Philly. We'll have to wait until Steve Kerr talks pregame tomorrow, Dibs, to get an update from Steve Kerr. But I would imagine this isn't something serious, and it might just be the Warriors potentially identifying a day where maybe they don't need to play Jimmy, although that might be, honestly, Monday in Charlotte, where you might be able to get a win over that team without Jimmy Butler. But I wouldn't read too much into that. The other piece of news from Anthony Slater is that the Warriors will sign Kevin Knox to a second 10-day contract. Knox has been with the organization back to the summer and impressed the main team the last 10 days. He did play some first half minutes last night in Orlando, the first time we saw him getting some regular run for the Warriors. But Kevin Knox, a second 10-day contract. Jimmy Butler questionable tomorrow. Jonathan Kuminga out tomorrow. There's the news.
Yeah, Jonathan Kuminga, good news, though, that maybe Monday is a day. And if it's not Monday, and then the game after that, I think it's
Tuesday. Yeah. They're in New York against
the Knicks. Yeah, so he wouldn't play in both of those games, I don't think.
Probably not.
Anyway, and
Monday feels like a soft landing spot for him against Charlotte.
That's a great call. And if he's ready to go, then you can probably play him 16 to 20 minutes and let him get his wind back. And even if he's out of shape and out of sorts a little bit, you probably can withstand that, sustain it, and still go out and get the W.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. 888-957-9570. Where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? The Warriors are 7-1 in his 8 games as a Warrior. They could pretty darn easily be 8-0, although I guess a couple of these wins could have gone the other way as well. 7-1 is probably pretty darn fair. And they have completely turned their fortunes around. And for you, Dibs, for me, Dibs, it feels like they're building something special. But where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Charles as promised. Charles is in South City. What's up, Charles? You're on with Dibs and Grandy. How you doing?
Happy Friday, boys. Good talking to you guys for the first time in a long time. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
But yeah, Jimmy Butler, that's good to know you're doing great, by the way. But yeah, Jimmy Butler coming here, he's definitely put everyone's minds at ease. Everyone's playing well, you know, creating good shots, and then everyone's taking good shots. And on top of that, creating lanes, and on top of that, my opinion, of course, before Jimmy came here, Steph, it was hard. It was a hard knock life for him because he was getting doubled left and right. Now when guys see Jimmy out there, they're like, oh, we got to take care of Jimmy. But they kind of forget about Steph a little bit. And by the time you look at Steph, you see a three-pointer just going above your head. On top of that, I feel like once we get Kuminga back, he's that missing puzzle piece right there. You put him in that lineup with Jimmy Butler, as long as everyone's healthy, boy, oh boy, you got yourself something out there. And one more thing for you, Dibs. This is for you and Willie, too. You too, Grandy, might as well. So my little nephew, he's 2 years old, he enjoys listening to 95.7, and he calls you guys Dillard and Dibs.
Okay.
Dillard and Dibs.
There you go. It'll work.
Classic.
Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you, Charles.
Yeah. You know, what do you do?
Well, 2-year-old nephew is a big fan of you, Dibs.
That's good. And, you know, I hear about that a lot back when I was doing mornings, especially where, you know, kids are going to school and their dads usually are putting it on. And so it's like, yeah, my 7-year-old's a big fan of you. And it's like, kid's got no choice. Poor kid's just trying to go to elementary school and
sitting in the back seat. He can't change the radio
from
back there.
No control, right? Just a captive audience, as my dad used to say.
Yeah, I think Charles is onto something though when he talks about how Jimmy is making it easier for the others, Dibs. And I think there's a fine line here because I don't want to just say Pajemski and last night was kind of maybe the exception because he didn't play particularly well. I think most of it just comes down to the fact that he wasn't making his shots, and neither was Moody. Although Moody hit one of the biggest shots of the game that none of us are ever going to remember. It was at the end of the third quarter. So the Steph craziness and the Quentin Post couple of buckets pushed the Warriors from down 14 at half to up 12 at one point. And then the Magic went on a 10-0 run late in the third. And just before the third quarter buzzer sounded, Moody hit a three from the corner to push the lead back up to 5. That kind of gave the Warriors, much like Steph Curry's three-quarter court heave gave them momentum going into half, that Moody three gave them momentum going into the fourth. They added on to that run in the fourth, and they ultimately took, I think, like a 10 or 12-point lead again with Steph on the bench. So that was a big three. But generally, Moody wasn't making his shots last night. Neither was Pajemski. It was another rough-heeled game, which is kind of frustrating because he had kind of been playing better of late. But I do think Charles is on to something, Dibs, because Jimmy Butler, the attention that he draws, it makes it easier for Steph, but it also allows Pajemski and Moody to slide back a role, to slide down the totem pole a little bit, to get to a point where they're now filling roles that they are much more capable of doing on a consistent basis, whereas before the trade, you were kind of asking Wiggins and Moody when he was playing, and even Kuminga when he was playing, and Pajemski before he got hurt or after he returned, to try to fill in roles that maybe they're not quite equipped to do. But with Jimmy Butler here, they all can slide down a peg, and it makes it so much easier for all of them.
Absolutely, and you get contributions from Quentin Post, which was probably unexpected a couple of months ago.
No
and
doubt.
Now you've got him playing 24 minutes, and he goes 7 of 9 from the floor, and he's doing more than just standing and shooting threes. And you don't really necessarily need Buddy Hield. It's great if Buddy can get hot and earn his minutes again, but he's played 17 minutes last night in a pretty close game, a game that you trailed and a game that you obviously were competing to win. It wasn't garbage time, and Buddy Hield's just not getting a lot of minutes, and Pods has earned his minutes, and you mentioned Moses Moody, who still starting, and even though he didn't have a great night shooting, that three you mentioned was his only basket, and I just watched the replay. It's a nice little play because he catches the ball way behind him, and he's able to square it up and get it off in time, but he had 10 points. He got to the foul line a bunch, but just the one three ball was the only one he made. But he's doing so many of the little things regularly that Kuminga's minutes have to come from somebody. I don't know how much of it you're going to have to give up from Moses Moody.
I mean, it's going to be a chunk of them, I would think. He's probably going to get all the Gui Santos minutes. I would imagine Gui is probably not going to get regular run once Kuminga comes back. He might... Maybe the Warriors feel if they continue to win basketball games, maybe they take like 4 minutes a night from Draymond and give them to Kuminga too, if they can afford that. And then there's probably going to be a chunk that comes from GP2 and from Moses Moody as well to get Kuminga upwards of once he's fully ready to go. I mean, if he's playing good, he's got to get close to 30 minutes a night if possible. But we'll see how that does play out. Kuminga not playing tomorrow, but he could return as early as Monday when the Warriors are in Charlotte to take on the Hornets for the second time in their last four games played. But you also brought up pods, Dibs, and I know David in Concord wants to talk about Brandon Pajemski. So let's go out to Concord. 888-957-9570 is the number to call. David in Concord wants to talk about Butler and Pajemski. What's up, David? You're on with Dibs and Grandy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm a big Pods fan, and I think that Jimmy has released him in some way. Impact that doesn't show in the scoreboard, but Pods jumps in front of his man. He stays ahead. His feet are so fast, they're going to move and makes the guy turn, and when the player turns, Jimmy's there. So he's released. Pods able to prevent any of the big scorers from going all the way to the basket. He turns, he moves his feet, and Jimmy is just allowing it more than anybody else. And then on the same way, when the big goes, they toss it into a big, the big turns one way, and Pajemski's there to stop him turning back, so he's got to stay. So he's stopping the opponent's big from making that turn back, and he has to pass it out. So All that Jimmy and Pods both do that. So both of them are complementing each other on defense.
Yeah, David, I think you're right. And I think, I know I definitely do this, Dibs. When I'm talking about Pajemski,